you may have seen, is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to You May Have Seen, Reaching Out and Revisit. Thanks for tuning in. We got to check in on these people, right? We talk about it in so many of the interviews about how difficult this business is when things are going well. So many of my guests are self-employed, independent contractors, artists, giggers. I didn't even know that was a thing. Now, everyone's world, and I mean everyone's world, has been turned upside down. How can you plan for something like this? You can't. The best thing we can do is to try and be supportive and hopeful for each other. I still don't think I can truly wrap my head around what's fully going on out there and the level of uncertainty, pain, and fear many people are dealing with. So I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that and them and send them love and goodwill from me and all of you, because every little bit helps. Okay, on with the podcast. Today we're going to hear from my good friend Joanna Jowett. You may have seen Joanna on One Tree Hill, The Riches, and Life as We Know It. We'll also hear from the incredible and huge-hearted Lee Spencer. You may have seen Lee in Peanut Butter Falcon, Bluff City Law, and the TV series Six. And we'll wrap up with the amazing Milena Govich. So happy to have her join us for this. You may have seen Milena on Law & Order, Rescue Me, and directing episodes of Chicago Med and CBS's FBI. So here we go. Stupid.
No, it's not stupid. No one sees it. Don't talk about you like that.
Literally, I've prepared nothing because this is so different from any other conversations with other actors that I've had before. So the situation is so extraordinary, if that's even a reasonable enough term, that it's like I've been hesitant to even try and set up new interviews with new actors and new people to talk about, hey, let's talk about your career and what you've done and all that stuff. I don't know, something about it just doesn't seem quite appropriate at the moment.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
To even, or to just pretend that life's normal. Nothing's going on. Everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's fine.
So I'm just rambling. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
We're talking to our good friend Joanna Jowett again. Welcome back, Joanna, from one of the earlier and still most successful episodes, most downloaded episodes, most listened to episodes. Yeah, a little pat on the back for you. And so let me just ask you then, first of all, with everything that's going on with the whole... See, I don't even want to say it. I'm calling it the... I think it's going to be the new C word. I don't want to say... The virus. It's like Voldemort. I don't even want to say it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes. We're all in here dealing
with
the new
C word.
I was going in a different
word. Way. Yeah. I was like, the new C word.
Yes.
I know the old C word.
Right. So how are you doing with all of this madness?
I'm good. You know, I'm certainly a lot better than, you know, a great deal of people going on out there, because I have the ability to work from home and the ability to still work, you know, so I'm fortunate in that way. I've got a workshop that I'm going to be teaching coming up this coming Saturday. And,
cool.
You know, depending on, you know, if the turnout keeps going the way it is, then that may be an ongoing thing.
Wow. Great.
Yeah. I mean, I am grateful for that. You know, so as a retired bartender, I mean, that wouldn't be happening, you know?
Oh, right.
I'm just grateful that I have, you know, the opportunity to keep going with work and still be creative also.
Because I was wondering how things were with the casting office now. Like, are you guys, has everything just come to a screeching halt?
As far as casting goes, yeah. I mean, because, you know, advertising is one of the first and easiest ways to cut money from a budget. And... You know, if people can't be next to each other, then it's going to be damn hard to produce anything. You know, you know as well as anybody does the amount of hands on deck to get any kind of filming done. And so I feel like it's, you know, everybody's the fallow soil, you know, turning the earth and letting the nutrients build. I started writing.
Did you?
Which, yeah, I was amazed with, because it's been ages.
So what are you actually writing?
Okay, so a friend has been talking with another person about writing this project, and it's about like a cult.
Okay.
And done sort of, you know, documentary style, blah, blah. And so I wrote this monologue from one of the women's perspectives. And
cool.
Yeah. And I felt like I, you know, had some funny stuff in there. We'll see, you know, whenever it comes through the, you know, the pipe of editing or whatever, or if it's, you know, if it sits well with them. But it just seems like a really, you know, interesting thing. And it's at least, you know, letting those sort of creative things flow and whatnot.
What the hell are we supposed to be taking from all this time? I wonder.
I feel like it's a, you know, it's a time to create, right? It, you know, and observe and grow as artists in a different way, you know, because we're so used to like doing all the time. And so now it's, okay, maybe it's a time to rest and enrich the soil and, you know, that sort of thing, and grow your roots underneath, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly having a difficult time with that. I mean, I keep, you know, finding myself throughout the day going, okay, I feel like I should be doing something. I need to be doing, what can I try and produce? And I don't know if it's honestly just more of like, hey, why don't you just sit down and
be still?
And open the window.
Yeah.
You know? And just let's see what the breeze blows in. Whether it's just be still or just open up your mind as opposed to trying to keep it, you know, zooming in fifth gear or sixth gear throughout the day.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
What am I doing? I am, you know, all kinds of things, yet primarily just coping and dealing with this new situation and setup. The stuff that I've been doing, it's been more in dealing with keeping the house together.
Sure.
I've still had some voiceover work, thank goodness. It's really unpredictable, more so than ever. I was still getting a decent amount of voiceover auditions. Like, you know, that part of it, I'm still waiting to see how that's going to, what direction that's going to go. There's certainly going to be a drop-off. There certainly has been a drop-off. But then you think about other companies, products, businesses, institutions out there that are, you know, you're like, oh God, their advertising might actually go up. Their production mm-hmm. might actually go up because of it. So, you know, there are certain things that are going to drop off. There are certain things that certainly may pick up, but it's just, you know, then you just have to wait and see, okay, am I going to be the recipient of any of that?
Right.
I'm always grateful for any job that comes in. Now you can multiply that gratitude times 10 because we have no idea how long this is going to go on for and how it's going to unfold. Creatively, it's like, oh, this is a good opportunity to maybe go back and reintroduce myself to the piano again, because I didn't start playing until 7 years ago, 7-8 years ago. I finally,
really?
I was like, yeah. And
that makes
me
feel good that like I could actually like, you know, get my head out of my ass and start playing piano and finally make my mother's wildest dreams come true and appreciated.
And what you talk about online capabilities as far as, you know, learning tools to learn how to play any instrument. You can find all that stuff online, man. You can really, truly learn how to play from starting from zero. Even if you just want to like, I just want to learn how to play a song. You can find, in many cases, you can find a certain song and they'll be like, here's how to play it. And just trying to, again, be as optimistic and as hopeful as possible, doing everything that we can to be smart and to be safe and to send as much good vibes and goodwill out there to anybody who might need it. How's it going for you at home?
It's good. You know, Greg is home. He's working from home also. And I love, you know, I love having him here. And so that's super good. My husband.
Is this going to be a new test for you in some way, shape, or form, do you think?
No, it's just good. I think that's where, you know, the benefit of finding your person, you know, later mm-hmm. in life comes. It's like you genuinely like the person, you know?
That's like, a good thing. That's a good thing.
You're who you are at this point in life, you know, and they've figured out who they are, really. Man, it's just fun. I love him. He's a really cool guy. And he's doing, like, you know, backyard projects in addition to still doing his job, because he can do that, you know, remotely. And there's only, you know, there's so much that you can do. And so we're doing that. You know? I'm trying to, it's at that point also where I am, that I'm trying to be optimistic and, but not, you know, Pollyanna optimistic of like, everything's sure. wonderful. Everything's great, you know?
Yeah, no, especially since we just got word that it's going to be like this now for at least the next month.
Right, at least. Well, and then they're probably expecting to be able to loosen the restrictions on everything, what, July and August, because those are going to be the hottest months, and then have a second wave of this come through, which, and so then we'll probably have to go into lockdown again. So this show that I do, Charlotte Squawks.
Oh, right, yeah.
So we were supposed to start rehearsing on April 6th. So that would be this coming Monday. That's all up in the air right now about if there's a way that we could, you know, rehearse remotely, or, you know, and shifting that, you know, and there's a lot of creativity that comes through being in the same room with people. And so it's a shift. It's a major shift. You know, learning choreography, or going, you know, oh, you know what, this, what about this move here? And hey, I can do this. Did you want?
Right.
So who knows?
The show is still scheduled to go on as expected for right now.
There are a lot of questions around about it, that, because the thought is that the show was scheduled to begin at the last week of May and then run throughout June. You know, the concern is that, you know, people aren't going to want to be seated right next to a bunch of other people packed into a room, and which, understandably, like, I'm sure that there are going to be right. people that are deeply concerned about that. I am deeply concerned about that. And the last thing that, you know, anyone would want is anyone getting sick through something that they're doing, you know?
I am curious about that, of how long the fear is going to continue to exist even after, you know, the gates have been opened and the green light has been given. Are people going to, like, timidly walk out their front door, afraid to, you know, still approach other people or get too close to somebody else or shake hands with somebody? Or
I think you should be, you know, especially if you or anyone that you care about, which I think that covers everyone that exists, right. you know, has any issues, like respiratory issues, especially. Like, Greg has asthma. So, God help me. I think saying that I would be a shell of a human being if anything happened to him is a generous statement. You know,
yes, certainly.
You know, and there's other people in my life also that, you know, have asthma, or my mom has MS. And so her immune system is compromised, and, you know, things like that. Yeah. At this point, going to the grocery store is probably one of the riskiest things that you can do, because that's the one place that, you know, the vast majority of us, if we're not, you know, if you're not having your groceries delivered or picking them up separately, you know, that's the watering hole at this point. And God bless those people. Like, I mean, the people that are doing these invaluable services, like doctors and nurses taking care of everybody on the front line. And then the people that are providing food for everyone, you know?
I've been making it a point to make sure that I thank as many people as possible that I come across in those situations. Colleen put a little note on our mailbox for the mailman saying, "We appreciate everything you're doing. Thank you so much."
Mm, yeah, that's so nice.
So just recently, a little over a month ago, Joanna and I were in a production of The Odd Couple together, which, you know, some of you may have heard me reference before. And
Brian one, was absolutely amazing. And if you did not get to see it, then you missed a hell of a show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But have you actually stopped to think about how lucky we were timing wise?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and on several different levels, because obviously, you know, we had a concern for Mark, who came down with the flu.
Right.
So the other lead in the show comes down with the flu, and he was terribly sick and soldiered through it. I had gone and gotten 2 jugs of hand sanitizer, one for you guys to keep in your dressing room and one for us to have in our dressing room, so that everybody could, like, you know, as you go in and out. And then had like several tubs of Clorox wipes that we had a long time ago gotten like on auto ship from Amazon. And we ended up, you know, so we had a bumper crop of that. So I brought a couple of those in there. And after the fact, I realized, you know, when I'm home, you know, 3 weeks later, and they're talking about how there's no hand sanitizer that exists anywhere. I'm like, you mean this hand sanitizer? Because you can't, it's super hard to find antibacterial soap, which I luckily was, I had like 3 bars of Dial antibacterial deodorant soap, which, you know, yay.
Yeah, I was talking to Pat the other day, and he was talking about the same thing. He was like, I had this big bottle of Purell backstage in the dressing room, and I left it at the theater.
Yeah. He was like, I figured they would use it. I'm like, and they will.
Pissed. Yeah. He was pissed.
I know. I may like just do like a little like flyby and like ring his doorbell and run away. Like, I'm not even here.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just coincidence or if there's a higher power that's looking out for us, and it's just like, we're gonna get you through it. We're gonna get you through it.
On a lot of levels, I felt really so incredibly fortunate to be a part of that group as a whole. I obviously, like, the timing wise was amazing and wonderful, but just being in the company of that, those people, it felt like coming home to me. Almost everyone I've known for 20 something years, you know, it made my heart so incredibly happy. It filled the well for me. Incredibly grateful for that experience. It seems like there are a lot of opportunities for learning and growth if, you know, time to fill your own well in different ways, if you have the ability and luxury to do that, you know, because I know there are a lot of people that are doing amazing things for society right now.
Hashtag stay at home.
Hashtag stay at home. Love your people.
It's just going to be interesting to see how, what getting back to real life is going to be like, if it's going to be the same, if it's going to be different, how it's going to be different. When that's going to be, when we're going to be fortunate enough to get that opportunity again to pursue the things and make the contributions that we were making. Joe, thanks so much for sitting down and talking with me. It was good to see you again.
It's good to see you too.
I know.
Thank you for talking.
Thanks, Joanna, for reaching out and revisiting with us on You May Have Seen. Now let's check in with our good friend Lee Spencer.
It's good to see you too. What's happening?
I put on a shirt for you and cleaned up a little bit.
I wish I could say the same. I mean, I'm wearing pants of some sort.
Oh, so good. Okay.
That's a step in the right direction. But I have not had a chance to shower and clean up for you. With everything going on, I kind of forgot, you know, and it just, I looked at the calendar and I was just like, wait a minute, your birthday is Saturday, you know, because we've been in this mode of, you know, paying attention to everything that's going on and trying to stick to a pretty strict, you know, budget and keeping an eye on everything. And you lose sight of actually, I don't know, allowing yourself any sense of fun, joy, or pleasure, I guess, in the process. At least that's what it's been like so far for me.
Sure.
So, yeah, so it's like, well, shit, that's not good. We've got to fix that somehow. Yeah. Do something for her and figure out what we can do to at least celebrated in some way. So just for anybody listening, we're catching up with our good friend Lee Spencer. If I try to pretend like nothing's happening and everything is business as usual and let's just gloss over everything, I feel that that would be somewhat shameful. So what's up with you?
Well, it's good just to connect, first of all. And
yes.
Just to see your face here on Skype. As you know, I work at the in studio with Drew Matthews, and I sat in on. He's really up on all this technology, and he's been teaching through Zoom, continuing.
Oh, good.
To many of our students whose last session was interrupted by this, decided to go ahead and go for the Zoom classes, and He's winging it, but he's doing a really wonderful job. So I sat in as sort of a second coach last night, and it was great just to see everyone's face pop up because I miss my students terribly.
I'm sure.
So just to have some sort of connection. So it does seem trivial in some way for all of us to continue to work on scenes or to talk about the business with you today, for instance. But with, man, we need some levity. We get up in the mornings. I don't know about you. I'm thinking, should I just not watch the news at all for my own protection of my own sort of sanity in this stuff? Or do I start my day just spinning like a top already, reading the news and getting all worked up and stressed like everyone else?
Yeah.
So it's important to reach out, and we're all in the same boat, you know, and it's challenges are our own challenges. You know, there's no weight to it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
We're all dealing with something. And so just to connect is really nice, and I'm glad you reached out. Yeah.
Have you been experiencing that quite a bit, though? I mean, I know that I have, where I can only take so much of the headlines and the latest articles and updates. But I guess that's the nature of it, where even though it seems beams of sunlight may be coming from certain areas, there's still a lot of fucking dark and stormy clouds in other areas. And
Yeah.
It seems like there's no escaping or avoiding it. So when you are talking about, do I just avoid the news altogether today, or do I start the day getting all wound up? I feel that you probably get to make that decision every day, and I think you should take some comfort in, hey, don't worry, the earthquake news is still going to be there tomorrow. So if you want to take the day off, you're not going to miss anything. There's still going to be more of it tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, you know, you almost feel, I almost feel bad or guilty not indulging in the news and finding out and staying on top of things. But at the same time, our survival mode kicks in. We must protect ourselves to some degree. And so, yeah, each and every day you wake up, and I don't know about you, but I'm under this, as I wake up in the little bit of a fog as I'm waking up, I think it's a normal day. And then this kicks in our new reality, our new normal.
Right.
And then I start to get depressed.
Yeah.
And then some days I'm more successful at still making it a full productive day. And some days I let the depression kind of get to me. And I end up going on a lot of walks. I don't know if you and Colleen go out walking or anything, but I've got to get outside and get away from this.
Yep.
So I do a lot of walks, check on the few people that I'm able to still see and connect with. And of course my parents here, they're doing fine. I have that pit in my stomach, you know, that sooner or later someone I know will be affected personally. I've already seen, I don't know about you, but some people on Facebook, you know, throughout the country, because I have friends all over the country. So I'm just saying, I feel sick. I'm sick today. And they're not sure what it is, but they can't get tested. And
as scary as it is, there's a lot of truth to what the doctors are saying out there as far as, look, if this happens, approach it this way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's clearly affecting different people in different ways.
Yeah, and, for sure.
There are different strains of it, of course. So,
yes.
And me being an older fella, you know, I'm thinking, gosh, would I be able to handle it? I don't know. I've wrecked my body to some degree, so I don't know, man.
But you've also done a lot of things to take care of yourself, and I feel like I'm sure you're probably doing everything that you possibly can right now. Are you washing your hands like crazy?
Yeah, I'm washing my hands like crazy. I'm touching my face like crazy, like right now. I'm sitting with my hand on. But once your
hands are washed, you're fine. You can.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's strange, and I know it is for you guys too. When you go to the store, that distance you try to keep, and then you're walking down the aisle of a grocery store, and you can't really keep 6 feet away, or you want to go over to this certain shelf to get this certain product, and someone's standing there, and you sort of patiently wait and smile.
Yes.
It's a very strange time, and making me realize just how much we need contact with other human beings. I miss hugging people and friends and family, and you know, it's so important, because we were already moving apart from one another with social media, and now that we have to just use social media, it's making me very sad.
But I don't know what it's like, what it's been like for you, but I mean, I've also gotten more messages, more phone calls, more true heartfelt, you know, sentiments and wishes from people that I haven't had in years. And I've been just as guilty of it, where it's like, you know what? I need to not take these relationships for granted.
Right.
You know, it's very easy to do that. It's so easy for us to get caught up in our own crap.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I have reached out to friends in Los Angeles and New York and people that I hadn't talked to in a long time. And we're just saying, hey, how are you doing? Just thinking about you, you know. And it's those, and that's the ones you really find out care, you know.
Yes.
And it's people that made this indelible print on your life many years ago that you just sort of lost contact with. And it's a wonderful thing. And of course, we start to think about our own future, and we're all concerned about that, me being a freelance actor, and we're thinking, how is this going to change the face of the business? What is going to happen now? Are we going into quarantine every year for a few months when the next strain comes out or the next wave comes out? And I'm not so sure how I'm going to deal with it.
I don't either. That's where I'm just trying to be optimistic and not go too far down that road, because it's like, you know, that's still a ways away. And I want to try and have some faith and hope in the doctors, the researchers, all the specialists who are working on trying to find that answer. That right now, for my own sanity, it's okay. I need to try and stay as hopeful and optimistic that they're going to do what they need to do in order to make whatever this next phase or what the future is going to look like much more manageable and hopefully less, catastrophic.
Right.
Hoping.
Yeah.
I think you got it.
I do think once we get the green light to get back to work, so to speak, that it, the floodgates will open. I think a lot of productions are just sort of sitting on it right now.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll, for instance, at the studio, and I know we'll be very busy taping auditions for people and all that.
Right.
But I don't know about the future of, say, callbacks and in-person things. And
what's
the protocol going to be on set now?
Sure.
Will we have to make sure that we're tested and clear before we're able to work? You know, I don't know.
Right.
Just everything. Taping our temperatures before we walk on set. Good Lord.
Yeah. Wow.
Everything.
Yeah, that's
who
knows? So what has happened with you work-wise just in general? Has everything stopped for you? Because weren't you teaching yoga and all your classes, everything?
The yoga studio closed, and the owner of the studio is teaching virtually.
Okay.
At In Studio, we had been reduced to, well, in a fast 2-week period, I went from a class of 10, then I would divide them into 5, separate the chairs, make them wash their hands when they came in. We did all that. And then we went down to privates, one-on-ones.
Okay.
And then finally, we had to put the sign on the door, just like every other business, and say we're closed. And now we're doing virtual appointments if someone needs coaching or help with their auditions at home, because everyone's trying to tape at home. But it's not the same. We did some scenes last night in class, and I was watching them, and it's not the same, because you get that little hiccup virtually, and you can't really connect. And
right.
We're trying to get around that and do the best we can. But I was just aching to be in the room with the other actors, you know, and have that live energy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny. Auditions are still coming in for people. We're having to tell people, well, we can help you online. But there are some auditions that are just now trickling in this week. And I'm going, what? Who was auditioning for
Project? Wow. That's crazy. Yeah, I haven't heard about any on-camera auditions. Not at all. Not at all. Zero.
You know, most of them are... And the ones, a couple last week, were for younger kids who had agents or managers in Los Angeles. They were for really big projects out there that they're projecting that is going to happen later in the summer.
Gotcha.
And huge roles, you know.
Right.
I know all the smaller roles in the Southeast kind of thing, and all the locals have come to a halt.
Right.
The last thing I auditioned for was like 2 weeks ago.
You and I both got one a few weeks ago. I forget what show it was to be the judge.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I was like, you and I and a few other people. And it was my first.
Oh, yeah. Because it was one of the rare ones where you see all the names.
Yeah. And it was my first one. And I was like, I'm not old enough to be the judge. Am I?
Yeah, you are. Now you are. You're starting to. Well, you're the young. You're on the young end of the judge.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, they're never going to cast me as the judge.
Oh, that was for something in New Orleans. I mean, I'm at a, as we've discussed before, I'm at a good place in my life where I don't really think about booking much myself. And then when I do, it's a pleasant surprise. But of course, now that everything's ground to a halt, not only am I concerned about, you know, myself not being going out on auditions, I can't even help and prep other students for it. And so virtually everything has come to a halt. Like you and everyone, I'm trying not to think too far down the road. Like, oh my God, what am I going to do in a few months for money? You know, and that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, so now I'm very concerned about all my theater friends, not only my friends at the Equity Theater here, but all theaters. I don't know what they're going to do. And one of my friends was saying that someone was mentioning, oh, this is a good opportunity for us to work on, you know, virtual theater. And go into it. And I'm thinking, well, that's not even theater. That's, I don't really understand. What are you moving to?
Right.
You know, so, you know, in a way, the studio that I work at has the upper hand because we're used to working with cameras and there will, that will continue. But for everyone who makes their bread and butter or live audiences coming in, our audience is coming to see live performances. I just feel for them because they're struggling. Every one of them are struggling.
I was having a moment yesterday that, you know, probably stretched over a couple of hours. I don't know if you've had this at all where it's like, oh, okay, this is starting to feel normal. I had to kind of pull myself out of it where it was like, no, it's not normal. I don't want it to feel normal. I don't want to go backwards. I don't want to lose sight of all the things that this has made me even more aware of, even more hyper aware of. It's like, there's almost a part of me that's like, it's too soon for this to be over. I need to be reminded more and I need to stay aware more. I need to stay present more. I need to keep my eyes open longer before I fall back and relax into, oh, it's fine. It's fine. I'm going to watch the Flintstones.
In the yoga studio, I remember each day we would come in and there would be a little saying on the board. And one of them was, change is the only inevitable in this life. And that's true. How you deal with change is of utmost importance, you know, because we're comfortable being comfortable. And I think, and another thing that was written on the board was get comfortable being uncomfortable. You're just going to have to step up to the plate, you know, somehow. And deal with it, and it's so overwhelming that I do want to just run away from it and escape.
Totally. You want to hear about a quirky thing that I've been doing in the past couple of weeks that has hit me very hard emotionally? Like, and I use it as a sort of as a breather. I've gone onto YouTube and I've been watching old clips of Broadway musicals.
Yeah. That's great.
You know, a friend of mine sent me a clip a couple of weeks ago, or posted a clip, of Andrea McArdle singing Tomorrow on the Merv Griffin Show from 1978, and I just started bawling.
Oh, man.
And I started bawling, and I was like, I need to look up, I need to find more stuff that makes me feel good and feel hopeful, and, you know, I was like, geez, all the jokes that I've made about musical theater over the year by being a serious actor, I think musical theater might be one of the most important, you know, artistic entertainment mediums ever created.
Sure, I do too. I found myself going down the rabbit hole of old Bob Hope specials.
Nice.
And, you know, just reminded me of my childhood, and I'll see all these celebrities walk out, and tonight's guests, you know, and every one of them are gone. And it just really put it into perspective. I can escape through that or think of a better time. You know?
Well, man, look, thanks for coming and hanging out with me for a little while.
Yeah. I appreciate you reaching out. I mean, any time now that someone reaches out, I feel excited, you know? I mean, because I this is what it's about. What is life after all but connection?
Right.
You know, for some reason, we need people in our lives and we need people we care about.
Always good to catch up with Lee. We don't get to cross paths nearly enough. Okay, let's take a short break with this message on behalf of the CDC and the Queen City Podcast Network.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick.
avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You're listening to You May Have Seen, proud member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. There's so many great podcasts on the network, and they're adding new ones all the time, showcasing great stories by great people and shining a spotlight on the Queen City. You can find them all at queencitypodcastnetwork.com. So let's get into our last segment. Say hi to Milena Govich, everyone.
I'm in my quarantine uniform, t-shirt, hoodie.
Is that the official uniform?
Oh, yeah.
Did they come door to door in L.A. County passing those out? There's still a dress code.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. How are you?
I'm doing okay, sweetie. How are you doing?
Do you guys have do you have the stay-at-home order and all that, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's officially came down, I guess last week. It went from 2 weeks to through the end of April within a matter of 24 or 48 hours. Like they said, shelter at home, and then all of a sudden it was through the end of April. So yeah, things moved pretty quickly. Yeah. You guys have been dealing with...
Yeah, I had to have some real talk with my mom and my godmother in Atlanta, who's about to be 80, but she's a former ballerina, so she's like smoking her cigarettes. I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to the store. I'm like, no, you're not.
Oh my God.
To wash your groceries. I've never heard of washing my groceries. You're going to wash your groceries.
Oh, you're going that far, huh? You're washing the groceries?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we are for sure. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, LA is a hotbed, and, it can live on plastic for 3 days. Yeah.
Okay.
So I haven't left the house other than walk around the block for a little bit of exercise since the 16th of March, which is crazy. We haven't even gone to a store or anything. I'm playing this online delivery roulette on the grocery store websites and Amazon and Whole Foods, and you can't even get delivery windows anymore. It's just not available.
Really?
There's the grocery store down the street from us where you can do a pickup, but even that, there's no windows, and they give you 6 days out.
Whoa.
Nothing available.
Oh
yeah.
Oh my God.
So yeah. And I was going to go to the store on Monday cause we were just running out of food. And David's like, no, it's getting worse and you can't go. And he basically forbid me to go. So a friend of ours who was going got us some salad and some chicken, which was great.
Oh, man.
And but last night, so I've been doing all these refreshes on these shopping carts because Instacart was good for the first week, but now they're all striking. So you can't even do Instacart out here because it's unsafe. All the Instacart people are like, this is not safe. And we don't have gloves and masks. And the stores are the most... They're the only things open. It's the only place people go, and it's got tons of foot traffic all day, every day. So it's kind of the worst place to go, yet the one place everybody needs food. So it's really pretty scary out here. But last night, I stayed up till midnight, and at 12:01, at 12 midnight, I started refreshing my carts, and I ended up getting a pickup window for the Ralph's grocery store. And I got a Whole Foods delivery, and I felt like a gambler who had just won at slots.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's crazy. And I'm like, this is insane. I'm going, oh my God, oh my God, I got it. Oh, and I'm like, what the fuck? It's groceries.
Right.
I've been spending the last 3 days trying to figure out how we were going to get groceries. It's really crazy.
Wow. Really quick, for those of you who are listening, we are now talking to our good friend Milena Govich, who is revisiting us here on You May Have Seen during this crazy, I'm calling it the new C word.
Got it.
Yes, pandemic and craziness. And she's catching us up on how things are going for her out there in on the West Coast in Los Angeles, in one of the hotbed areas, exactly as you said. Wow. And while she was explaining all that, you weren't able to see my face. I was literally sitting here in shock and awe because, man, is your situation so different from mine, and I have to be thankful for that or grateful for that, and that feels horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, but I would venture to say that your situation shouldn't be different than ours, because like the thing is, all these people that are asymptomatic or have mild symptoms, or they're not yet showing their symptoms.
Right.
The damn thing is so contagious.
Right. Oh, no.
You could be
for sure
spreading it, and it could. I think there's these waves of how it's going to hit. It's hitting LA earlier because it's a more condensed population and
right,
a bigger population and an international city. And
right,
you know, we're a little bit behind New York in that wave, but it's everybody's just got to be so careful and
certainly
hunker down.
I mean, it's just me and Colleen anyway. And men, you want to talk about learning how to stretch things out and make things last longer. Man, we've done a really great job of realizing, wow, we can make shit last a hell of a lot longer than we normally do if we really put our minds to it. And,
good,
you know, again, oh yeah, it's been a whole new lesson in budgeting and making the most of things and, you know, realizing at some levels, like, wow, look how much money we could save if we lived smarter. But, we're only going when we have to. And of course, you know, we've got Bailey, we've got the dog, and there are certain things that she needs as well. So, you know, we're going to the place where we get her food from. And that's truly it. That's absolutely it. Colleen has found, there's this great little product out there called Suds to Go. I'm not doing ads for anybody. I'm making no money for this still.
Suds
but,
to Go.
It looks like it's a travel hand washing station.
What? There's no way I'll be able to get it.
it looks like a water bottle, and it's got a little built-in, you know, like soap dispenser, and you take it with you and like in the car, and I think it cost her like $30 or $40, and I was like, this company, if they're smart, should start marketing and be like
first. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Better now.
So
I wonder. Oh, I see. There's just like a little side. It's just a water bottle with a soap dispenser in it.
Right. So we got a little hand towel that she keeps in the car. And every time we go to the grocery store, as soon as we come out, before we even get in the car, wash your hands. Wash your hands before you even touch
the
steering wheel. And then like before, I mean, every time we have to stop.
You can't buy hand sanitizer anymore. You can't.
Nope.
It's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's been a genius little helpful tool. For us, for sure.
It's great. I'm on their website.
Nice.
You can get it in pink. I think I'll get the blue one. David won't. He won't be embarrassed to carry it. I'm totally ordering this.
You absolutely should. It is the simplest and most amazing thing. Oh, I know, right?
I'm curious what their. Oh well, I'll investigate that when we're done. But that's so crazy.
I can't imagine what emotional roller coaster you guys are experiencing on a daily basis over there. You know, it gets difficult to watch the news and read the headlines at times.
Yeah, I end up trying to stay away from it as much as I can anymore. I mean, you read up to a certain extent and then
you gotta.
You know, look at what the breaking new information is, but you could just like go into a rabbit hole.
Oh yeah.
And I have.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Or you look up, you're like, I've been reading this stuff for 4 hours. But no, just, I'm trying to, limit the amount of,
exposure
news consumption.
There you go.
Yes. And focus more on my own stuff during the day, just because there's not really anything you can do other than stay home.
Right.
You know, that's the absolute best course of action that anyone could take. So it's not like, oh, I should go out and volunteer at the hospital or, you know, it's like, no, don't do that.
No. Have you given any thought as to what it would be like if you had stayed in New York?
Oh, God, yes. Oh, we have all of our friends in New York. I'm so very concerned for them, and so many of them have had it or have it now.
A
ton of people in New York that have gotten it. Fortunately, knock wood, only one person that I know fairly well has passed away from it, which is very, very sad.
But
most people have been recovering, which is good, but you know, there's just the nature of New York City, the community, it's the most densely populated place in our country.
Right.
I don't know how you do social distancing there. I mean, the grocery store aisles are only 3 feet wide to begin with.
Sure.
You can't even really pass two carts in the same aisle. Everything is, and you know, so it's very, very concerning. And I'm grateful that I'm not in New York, that I'm back in LA now, because that's just incredibly difficult. I was actually in Chicago when all of this started happening. So we bounce around all over the place.
Yeah, but I know that you had been working on FBI, and you were in New York when we last spoke, and I didn't know if that had ended, and then you had moved, you know, you moved on to the next thing. Or
that contract was up at the end of the year, and so the beginning of 2020, I was back in LA, but then went to Chicago to work. So I was actually in Chicago directing Chicago Med when all this started happening. And it was crazy because I arrived there like the middle, late February, and everything was fine. By the time I was leaving 3.5 weeks later, I was concerned about even being able to get home because there was talk of airports being shut down. In fact, on my last day of filming the episode, they announced that they were shutting down production. So they've canceled the last 3 episodes of the season. Right. So I have directed the de facto season finale, of Chicago Med.
With really no cliffhanger ending.
I mean, it's a good episode, and it's a big episode. There's a big action component to it. So I think it'll actually make a good finale. It'll feel like a big enough episode that you go, okay, well, we can go out on that one for now. But you know, it was a really tough time because everybody on the crew was scared. There were reports, we had found out that somebody had tested positive for coronavirus at CineSpace Studios, which is the studio where we all shoot. Just, we didn't have a lot of information and we weren't sure if it was safe, and everybody's washing hands, and all of a sudden craft services is like mandating hand sanitizer before anybody can go through the line. And you know, and it was tough that last day because I was trying to rally a crew that just found out they lost 2 months of pay.
God bless.
And, you know, I think many people don't realize that in the film and television business that these are gig workers. These are hourly employees. They're union hourly employees.
Yeah.
And they're not technically salaried for the most part.
Right.
And those episodes get cut, those weeks get cut, they're gone. I mean, to the credit of Universal Studios, which is the, you know, and NBC that produces Chicago Med, they did give the workers 2 weeks of salary. That was what they were able to do, which was better than nothing, but it's still not a lot of consolation when your job is done. And it's not like you could just go get another job because the whole industry is shut down. It's the very same thing for restaurant workers and service people. Right. They're all in the same boat. And so I'm trying to be cognizant of all my my colleagues that are in this position. And, you know, I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know when we're going to be back.
Anyone who asks me, you know, how are you doing? How are you dealing with it? And, you know, all I can tell them is that, one, I've been trying to practice the mantra, we're one day closer.
Yeah, that's great.
One day closer. Whatever that means.
One
day closer. And just trying to truly be as hopeful and as optimistic as possible. And trying to take whatever positives from each day as I can, no matter how big or small.
Yeah. I mean, one thing, I've been actually, because I've had time, I've been guest teaching some acting classes for college students.
Oh, great.
And so I've been talking to like some college seniors that, you know, they just had their showcase in New York or in Chicago, and like, God bless them. They went home for spring break and never got to come back, basically, which is so, so heartbreaking. But I've told them that, and I do believe this myself, that as far as the entertainment industry goes, we're creating a vacuum right now. Everybody is home, binging content, finding right. new shows, right. blasting through shows they've always wanted to watch. They're going to want more. People are, they're going to come out on the other side of this wanting more content, more new content. So whenever we are allowed to jump back in, there's going to be a boom. And the industry will come back. We haven't lost our infrastructure. It's not like World War II, where, you know, there's a lot of comparisons to war, what we're going through right now, that are apt, but, you know, we're not rebuilding bombed out structures on the other side of this. Everything, right. those stages are all
still
there.
We haven't been decimated.
Yeah. yeah. They're just waiting for us to not be allergic to one another, essentially.
Right.
And if you think about it, the genesis of Warner Brothers Studios came out of the Great Depression. That was after the Great Depression was that golden age of film. We got talkies right. during that period. I mean, and all of a sudden there was this desire for escapism.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And here were our fellows, our Charlie Chaplins of the world that were ready to deliver. So that's the most optimistic point of view I could come up with at this point.
And I think that's a good one. I think that's a good one. You know, to inject a little bit of levity, you know that we're going to have to sit through a number of COVID miniseries and disaster films that I'm sure screenwriters are working on right now as we speak.
Yeah. I hope not. I actually think it's going to go the other way. I think
it's going to be too soon.
I think it's going to go more the other way, which will lean towards comedy and more escapist stuff and maybe more sci-fi, things that are not so grounded in reality.
You tell me right now, with the situation that you're in, like when you're shuffling through Netflix and Hulu and streaming or whatever, and HBO or whatever it is, like we still haven't watched Game of Thrones and we want to.
Good for you. Right? You'll have plenty of time.
But you sit down and go, man, there's going to be a lot of murder and heavy drama.
Yeah.
Am I up for that right now? And it's been, honestly, it's been really challenging to find a good, fun comedy that's not going to, you know, sink into the depths of drama or be so absurd that it's just like, I can't even relate to this. So if I can shift gears just a little bit, then can we talk about your adorable husband?
Oh, yeah. He's because, hard at work right now. It's
is he?
Yeah, which is, thank God, one of us is able to work right now. But he had a pilot greenlit by 20th Century Studios and ABC called Triage. And it's a medical drama. When the networks shoot their pilots, it's typically this time of year, March, April. And then there's a big ad sales conference called the Upfronts that happened in May. And that has all been upended, as you would imagine, because the entire industry is shut down. Pilots have been postponed, put on hold. Some of them had already started shooting. They got like 2 days in the can and now they're just on hold indefinitely. Fortunately for David's pilot, they attached this super big fancy director named John Chu, who is known for Crazy Rich Asians. And he just is in post right now on the In the Heights feature film, the adaptation of the Broadway musical by Lin-Manuel Miranda. So because of John's schedule, they were always planning to shoot at the end of the summer. At first, it was like, that's not great. We can't shoot during the typical pilot season because of John's schedule. But now it's turning into a very big advantage because they're still on track. The studio and the network have since put together a mini writer's room that they're doing virtually on Zoom.
Of course.
David is on his Zoom chat in the office. I'm out here in the dining room talking to you. So it's going really well. They're going to actually go ahead and try to break a 10-episode season one, and they're delivering additional scripts beyond the pilot. So the hope is that when all of this madness passes, they'll be raring to go to shoot the pilot and hopefully continue and get a green light for the full series. Because David is a writer, he's able to work remotely like this. I mean, as a director, I don't even know what that looks like. There is no remote filmmaking. It's been very exciting, and I'm super proud of him. It's a really cool show. It's called Triage because it takes place in three different time periods in the same hospital. So it takes place in 2011, 2021 mm-hmm. today, basically,
right.
and 2031. And it's the same actors play themselves in three different decades.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's super cool.
How cool.
And I'm hoping there's potential for that with a new medical drama to shine a light on what our medical heroes are doing on the front lines right now.
Absolutely.
It's not going to be what the show is about, but it has the potential and the relevance that I think people will be interested in it, for sure.
That's really great. I'm so glad to hear that the project didn't end up being a bust as a result of this. I'm really happy for him and glad that it still has life and legs at the moment. So,
although I am blaming this pandemic on David, because literally in January, because he's sold a bunch of pilots before, but he's never had one greenlit. And he said, yeah. Oh my God, I'm going to finally get a pilot made. Unless the world ends, of course.
Like, way to go, Cornu. Way to go. Way to gooch yourself.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. So what are you doing to keep your sanity?
Well, if I didn't have a house or a piano, I'd be going crazy. Yeah. Fortunately, I love to do home improvement projects. So I finished renovating my front bathroom. I had started it in January because I had a few weeks off. And so I jackhammered the floors. Popped the countertops, removed the sink, replaced the toilet, retiled the floor. I built an enclosure for laundry.
Of course.
I actually did all of that in January, early February, but I still had some finishing work to do. So that was good. I got home. But the trick is now, because we can't leave the house, I'm limited to home projects where I have the materials on site, or if it's something I could potentially order online. But like, I can't go to Lowe's, I can't go to Home Depot. I mean, those stores are open, but it's just too risky. You don't want to risk it. So that's been my limiting factor. So I'm running low on projects. There's still a few that I'm going to keep puttering around with. But the thing that I have really enjoyed and that's giving me so much joy is to play the piano and play the violin. I'm not going to put it down for another 3 years before I pick it up again.
Good for you.
I'm going to commit to staying in better shape with that. And it's truly part of my being, and to spend time cultivating that again, just, it's wonderful.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, we do have to talk about Ozark. Because we just binged the whole season this week.
And you're a little ahead of me.
Great.
I'm only halfway through.
Have you seen your own episode yet?
No, I haven't.
You're great.
I have not seen them yet.
You did an awesome
thank
job.
You. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank you.
We were so excited. Tom Pelfrey is also a friend that we know from New York who was in David's movie. So it was like there was one moment where it cuts from you to Tom and David's like, it's two of our friends in the same.
I love it. Oh my God, that's great.
Yeah. How's that experience? I'm so curious because I'm slightly obsessed with that show.
Of course, as you should be. It was fantastic. It was phenomenal. Ecstatic to get the job in the first place.
Yeah.
The experience on there was great. I mean, I was having this conversation with Tom when we were on set together, and he was like, man, he's like, this show is a unicorn.
Yeah.
And he is absolutely right. Everybody on it, the crew, all the other actors, everybody was just fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. Laura Linney is, I don't even know what words to use to describe her. You know, the scene, her and I in the restaurant, the first one, was just, I'm certain that there were moments where she and I were working together and I was just doing this.
Yeah, like what's happening? You know, is this real life?
It was just mind-blowing, truly, to watch her work that closely. And I was like, I certainly had moments of like, oh, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how you do it. I'm going to go become a pipe fitter.
Yeah,
learn how to repair VCRs. I'm going to find a whole new job.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, sweetie, thank you so much for taking the time to come back and visit again and just check in. I'm glad you're doing well. It's good to see your face.
Yeah, you too. And congrats, man. We had so much fun watching
you. Well, thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Same to you. Say hi to David for
me. I will.
And thanks, Milena.
Bye.
Bye.
I want to thank Joanna Jowett, Lee Spencer, and Milena Govich for being with us today. I'm incredibly grateful for their time and friendship and for being a part of this special You May Have Seen Reaching Out and Revisiting. We'll be back with more. See you next time. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And if you'd like to leave a comment or review, that's always nice. You can also email us at youmayhaveseen@gmail.com if you have a comment or a question, and we'll give you a shout-out in the next episode.